This is Bizarro. For the next hour, be prepared to be entertained, energized, and informed with wacky, crazy, witty, funny news stories that'll make you laugh, maybe cock your head to the side and go, huh? Along with our wacky stories, I'll give you some up-to-date info on live music events and drop some songs along the way. Get ready to have some fun and take a little laughter break. Bizarro with DJ Hafo. What is up, guys? It is DJ Hafo here with Bizarro on this fine and dandy Tuesday. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening. I can't thank you enough, honestly. It means a lot to everybody who listens. So today is a very special day. I will delve into some crazy and outrageous news stories like we normally do, but also, today marks the day where Outside Lands, the big festival of San Francisco, released their lineup, and I'm so excited. I can't wait to talk about it, and I have many opinions and things on it, so we will talk about that. I think we should go delve into some crazy and funny news stories, and then for the remainder of the show, after some news stories, we will talk about some of the Outside Lands people coming, and I think it'll be absolutely fantastic. So, for our first news story, it's a little bit of irony is involved. So, a movie theater in England actually flooded. And the ironic part about this was it was right before a showing of the movie Noah occurred. So, basically, moviegoers flooded into the first screening of Noah on Friday, but an unlucky few at one theater in Exeter, England did not see it was good. The first screening at the View Cinema was canceled due to flooding. View staff closed the theater until 2 p.m. after an ice machine went haywire, meaning that the 12:15 screening of Noah had to be canceled. Unlike the legendary biblical story, everybody survived. So, luckily, no one was hurt. It was just a broken ice machine, but I just thought that was hilarious. I needed to share that because just the plain old irony in it that a movie theater flooded right before the showing of Noah. So, that is honestly hilarious. And it looks like they're getting the ice machine all fixed so that people can actually see their movies now. On to our next story. A JFK passenger had cocaine-filled meat that he tried to smuggle. So authorities say a man arriving at John F. Kennedy International Airport attempted to bring in more than 7 pounds of cocaine hidden in frozen food. Customs and Border Protection stopped the man last month after he had come into the country on a flight from Trinidad. While inspecting his luggage, officials found 3 packages of frozen meat. They also found white powder in the meat that they say tested positive for cocaine. The man faces federal drug smuggling charges. While, honestly, I will say that is very creative. That is a very creative and impressive way to try to smuggle in cocaine. I think, honestly, trying to smuggle drugs through an airport is probably one of the worst ideas you can do because the TSA is very tight on security about stuff like that, especially with drugs and, like, especially cocaine. Cocaine is very serious, but I will hand it to the guy. I mean, smuggling it in frozen meat is something I've never heard of. I've heard of bowling balls, I've heard of tennis balls and stuff like that, but I've never heard of frozen meat. So props to this guy for trying something new, but it did not work in his favor, unfortunately. But you know, I just don't see why would you try to smuggle drugs through the airport is my biggest problem. It's just, like I said, it's just such tight security and they will catch you. They will catch you. They scan for this kind of stuff. This is what they're looking for. This and bombs. So why, it's beyond me. But you never know. People are crazy, absolutely crazy. So they will try anything to make an extra buck, is basically what I've found reading through all these stories. So on to our next news story. Evelyn Hamilton allegedly calls the cops to complain about her weed quality. So unfortunately, Evelyn Hamilton actually went to a drug dealer, bought some weed, but unfortunately, she found out that it was just resin and seeds, and so she was very disappointed, and she spent $40 on it, and so she called the cops. She literally called the cops to complain about how she got gypped for marijuana. Now, the problem with that is she was in Texas, and in Texas, medical marijuana is not even legal, so marijuana is just still illegal as a whole in that country. So I don't see what she was thinking calling the cops to complain about a weed purchase. I mean, come on. She was arrested for drug possession and paraphernalia charges. So I just don't see what possessed her to call the cops. I mean, that's just a ridiculous thing. The story is Lufkin Police Sergeant David Casper said Monday that an officer went to the home of 37-year-old Evelyn Hamilton to hear her complaint that the dealer refused to return her money after the dealer refused to return her money, she objected that the drug was substandard. Casper says she pulled the small amount of marijuana from her bra when the officer asked if she still had it. She was arrested on Friday for a charge of possession and of drug paraphernalia. So that's that. You know, stupid people will. I guess it's just thinning the herd. I guess of just people who. Why would you ever call to complain to the cops about marijuana? But you know. Again, there's no short of people in this world that are just not as bright as some. So, on to our next news story. Ethan Chaplin, a student at a middle school, says he was suspended for twirling a pencil. Now, the story doesn't end there. He wasn't just twirling a pencil and they suspended him. But according to News 12, Chaplin said he was sitting in class spinning a pencil with a pen cap on when a fellow student told his teacher, "He's making gun motions, send him to juvie." After the incident, Chaplin's dad, Michael, said his son was effectively suspended pending a psychological examination, which the middle schooler passed. The school tells a different story. Vernon School's superintendent, Charles Marizano, told Huffington Post that he couldn't discuss the specific incident because of privacy laws, but he did say no school in the state of New Jersey or nationally would leap to a school suspension for twirling a pencil. That's not what the basis of our actions are. Instead, Marizano said the student was not suspended, but he was told he could return as soon as a doctor completed a psychological evaluation and determined that the student posed no threat to himself or others. While this makes sense to me, personally, that they would suspend him because he was supposedly making gun motions, I think they took it way out of hand, to be perfectly honest. Because when I was a kid, we played gun, like, games and stuff on the playground and stuff, like, where we'd pretend to shoot each other and things, but I think that's part of a kid's imagination, to be perfectly honest. I don't think that was him actually deliberately threatening to shoot up the school or anything like that in any way, especially because I'm looking at the picture of him right now. He looks like a perfectly innocent little kid, and he's just twirling his pencil, and maybe he made a gun motion with it, but I don't think he posed any threat at all, and I guess schools have to be very careful about this because you never know who is going to do that, especially with the increase of school shootings and stuff in the past decade, I guess. But I still don't see why they would have to suspend somebody for twirling a pencil. It's not like he brought a gun to school. He was just playing with his pencil. It's nothing to suspend somebody about. In all honesty, I think I would have taken him maybe into the principal's office, had a long talk with him, made sure that that's what his intentions were, and then let him go. But I guess schools just have to be very, very careful nowadays. All right, so a malfunctioning ATM at a bank in Maine dispensed $37,000 in cash to a man who requested $140,000. South Portland police say they responded to the TD Bank branch Thursday morning after getting a call from a woman who said a man was spending an unusual amount of time at the ATM she was waiting to use. Officers found the man stuffing cash into a shopping bag. The money was returned to the bank, and bank officials say they won't press charges, but police continue to investigate. The man hasn't been charged. A bank official describes the problem as a code error and says no customer accounts were affected. So clearly, that would be someone's field day if just $37,000 started coming out of an ATM. But unfortunately for him, there was a lady behind him waiting to get her cash, and she was not a big fan of waiting a long time. So I think that's a huge problem because the bank calls it a code error. But to be perfectly honest, $37,000, that's a big code error. That is a huge mistake. I would think that would be their number one thing that they would check to make sure that the ATM doesn't dispense more cash than they requested. But I guess there are malfunctions for everything. But $37,000, that is so much money. That's a ridiculous amount of money, especially when he only requested 140. So I think they definitely need to definitely check their other ATMs and make sure the coding is correct, because a code error that big is definitely going to do some damage to your company, I would say. So on to our next news story. A bald man actually used his blonde girlfriend's passport to make it all the way through airport security. So Neil Culo, a 50-year-old bald guy with a goatee, managed to travel from the United Kingdom to Spain on the wrong passport last month. I mean, I just can't believe that happened. Since he had no checked baggage, he was allowed to use only his boarding pass to get through security at Birmingham Airport. But the gate agent checking passports before boarding didn't question him, and neither did the passport control officers at Spain's Alicante Airport. It was only later when the friends he was traveling with began comparing passport photos that he noticed the mistake. He said, "Me and my mates were joking around about our bad passport picture, and they looked at mine and said, 'Neil, you're much better looking in this picture than in real life.'" That's kind of funny. So I think that's a pretty big deal, honestly, that he was able to get in through with a completely wrong passport. I mean, I'm looking at the picture right now. He looks nothing like the picture in the passport. Absolutely nothing like it. I mean, his girlfriend's blonde, he's bald. It's a total switch. And that kind of scares me, because I know I said earlier TSA is very, very tight security, but this story actually made me double think that, because I don't see how a man could travel the wrong passport from one country to another. Is just kind of scary, because think about how many people you could just steal someone else's passport and go wherever you want, and that is a really scary thought to me. But hopefully this was just a one-time mistake. But I just can't believe that even happened, to be perfectly honest. So I just think that they need to be a lot more careful. I mean, they'll catch the guy with cocaine and meat, but they won't even make sure the guy has the right passport. That's just a little odd to me, to be honest. But so on to our next news story. Patricia Ann Jameson, who was aged 49, was arrested earlier this month after deputies say she pooped in an elevator at St. Lucie County Courthouse in Fort Pierce, Florida. Attempting to... On Wednesday of March 7th, security staff were notified of a pile of poop in the corner of an elevator. Jameson, who has active pending cases with the county, was the last person to come out of the elevator after the reported fecal activity. Security footage allegedly showed Jameson walk into an elevator and to appear to pull her pants down and back up toward the interior of the elevator buttons, consistent with someone using the bathroom. Footage also allegedly showed the woman fiddling with her shirt and pants after exiting the elevator. So, I'm sorry, Patricia, but you made a huge mistake. You don't poop in public, especially when it's a government building. That is kind of a big deal. I'm pretty sure they'd have cameras everywhere in a government building, because those places have tighter security than any other building, really. So I do not think that that was a good idea. And she was arrested on a warrant for nuances and injurious to health. Nuances injurious to health. I can't. Who poops in an elevator to begin with? That is just the weirdest thing. My guess is she didn't get her way in some kind of case, and she just really felt the need to get back. But come on. In an elevator? Really? That it doesn't even get much air. It's a small container that carries people up and down. That's just ruining other people's day. You're ruining people's day that had nothing to do with you. I just think that's crazy. Oh, man. Some of these stories, every week I'm surprised. I swear. Every single week I'm surprised at what someone did. Oh, man. So, our next news story, a Notre Dame college student was arrested after allegedly breaking into a massage parlor and devouring a stockpile of Hot Pockets and nearly causing a serious fire. Brian McCurran, 19 years old, was arrested on Sunday morning after police say he used a flower pot to break into the Therapeutic Indulgence, a massage parlor in South Bend, Indiana. Parlor owner Sarah Ross Fraser said McCurran crawled through the hole he made in the stained glass window. He grabbed a hammer and pounded his way through the wall to get inside. McCurran allegedly broke lamps, mirrors, furniture, and other spa equipment before spraying a fire extinguisher throughout the whole building. Then things got messy in the kitchen. He went through half a box of Hot Pockets. Macaroni and cheese was warming up in an antique-style oven, and then he passed out while eating drumsticks on a table, which is where police found him. The police actually pulled it out and pulled out the mac and cheese and threw it in the sink because it was so toasted, but he was sleeping through the fire alarm and everything. He could have burned the whole building down. Thankfully, we had someone coming in there. I don't know what this guy's motive was. Because first of all, who breaks into a massage parlor to begin with? Because that is not the choice place to rob a building. I highly doubt they have much cash on site at a massage parlor. But then to go in, did he know that they had a stash of food back there? I mean, how would he know that? So he just went in there and ate all their food. That is probably one of the weirdest robberies I've ever heard. It says he was arrested for alleged burglary, vandalism, and underage consumption. After being brought to the police station, he reportedly blew a .106 blood alcohol level. So obviously he was getting a little bit of the drunchies, and he needed some food for that. But, I mean, why not go to Safeway or a grocery store or something? Why break into a building and then... That just blows my mind. Why he would break into a building to eat. You never know. People are crazy. Completely crazy. But... Alright, on to our next news story. 700-year-old poop barrels were found. Archaeologists excavating the medieval town of Odense in Denmark recently uncovered some barrels of old poop. Estimated to be about 700 years old, the buried latrines are said to have kept their contents in excellent condition. That is awful. That is totally awful. The barrels were dug up as part of what's shaping up to be the largest ermine archaeological excavation in Danish history. The area is just ripe with archaeological gold. Brick houses, half-timbered houses, and stables have all been found there. But it's the old town's communal toilet that seems to be getting everyone's attention for one reason or another. Why would they actually study old poop? To find out what people ate in the Middle Ages. Which is crazy. I would hate to be whoever has that job, to be honest, because I would never want to dig up 700-year-old poop. Just that's been manifesting in there for so long, and it's really gross. And it said it preserved it perfectly, which is really odd. But I guess, you know, for science, to figure out what they were eating, you'll do anything. To me, personally, I don't think I'd really want to know what they were eating, or wouldn't they have written that down somewhere, what they would have ate? But I guess the real way to find out is through their poop, so I'd hate to be the guy to do that job. Ugh, that'd be disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Alrighty, so I think we're going to take a break from the crazy and outrageous news stories now, and we're going to talk about the Outside Lands lineup coming up pretty quick here. We're going to play a song real quick. We're going to play some Disclosure, who, hint, hint, is actually on the Outside Lands lineup. And so we're going to play their song Latch for you here in a second. And then when we come back, we're going to talk all about the Outside Lands lineup. Thank you guys very much for listening. And here is Disclosure with Latch.
Haunt me, even when you're
Right, that was Latch by Disclosure, one of the many people coming to Outside Lands this year. And Disclosure is actually one of my favorites, so I cannot wait to see them. So Outside Lands is coming, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this year. While I will say the lineup for this year is not as impressive as last year, everything I say here is completely my opinion and solely my opinion. While I will say that this year's lineup is not quite what I would have totally wanted. I mean, you can't have everything. So they went in kind of a different direction this year, and so I'm going to announce some of the people that are on the lineup. I just tweeted the full lineup onto my Twitter page, and if you follow me on Twitter at DJ Haffo, H-A-F-F-O, DJ Haffo, I just tweeted the lineup, so if you want to follow along with me while listening to this. But the main headliners this year are actually Kanye West, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and The Killers. Now, I think this is a very different than what they've done in the past. They've never really had a hip-hop artist be the headliner, since I've been going there at least. And so Kanye West being probably arguably the biggest artist there, even bigger than Tom Petty, but Tom Petty will be incredible, though Kanye West is, honestly, he probably has the biggest fan base. Though I do know that most of the people that go to Outside Lands are actually more a fan of, like, the rock, kind of indie, kind of style, acoustic kind of style. So I don't know, actually, if Kanye West is going to be the most visited or if Tom Petty is. Because I don't know, because Tom Petty, it's freaking Tom Petty. They did Free Fallin' and stuff like that, so I... Tom Petty's legendary, and Kanye West is legendary, but he's a different kind of legendary. He's legendary for many other reasons. While I think he's a great artist, I don't know if I completely agree with them bringing him here. I think it'll be great. I think he'll put on a good show. From what I've heard from other people, he puts on a great show. Though I wish there it had been Elton John or someone along those lines, because I know Elton John is actually touring right now. He's hitting up a lot of festivals, and I was praying that he was going to be one of the people at Outside Lands this year. So Kanye West I would have replaced with Elton John, but I'm still going to see Kanye because it's freaking Kanye West, and he puts on a great show. From what I've heard, I've never personally seen him live. With Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, I'm going to be there, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. Because Tom Petty, he's so bright and happy. And Free Fallin', I remember singing with my dad in the car. We would just be screaming the lyrics and with my dad. I think we were on the way to Santa Cruz, and it's still one of my fondest memories with music. And so Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, I honestly can't wait for. That would be awesome. Okay, so with the Killers being a headliner, because they have three nights of the show. It's Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, and August 8th through the 10th. Right now, I'm going to guess that the Killers are going to be the headliner for either Friday night or Saturday night, because my guess would actually be Friday night, because I personally don't see the Killers as headliner material. Now, again, this is all my opinion and everything, and the Killers are a great band, but I think they have a larger fan base in the UK than they do here. And while I like the Killers, I would have rather, again, seen someone else. I think Tom Petty is perfect for being a headliner. I think he's exactly what people are expecting when they go to Outside Lands. But the Killers and Kanye West are definitely new. They're heading in a new direction this year. So I'm waiting to see how it turns out. You know, I want to see. But the Killers, again, I just don't think they're headline material, but we'll see. We'll see. I think they can pull it off. I would have actually picked them to be below, because the next person I was about to announce is going to be there is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. So those two are going to be there. And I would honestly say that I think Macklemore and Ryan Lewis would be a better headliner than the Killers, but that's just me. That's me personally. So Macklemore and Ryan Lewis are going to be there, which I think they'll do fantastic. While I've never really seen many hip-hop artists, I think bringing in Kanye West and Macklemore will be kind of a cool change. It's just different, and a lot of people don't like change. Well, I've visited a lot of message boards today doing research for the show, and I found that a lot of people are disappointed with this lineup. And I have to say, I'm slightly disappointed because it's not as good as last year's, or I wasn't as excited for this one as I was for last year's, but I'll still be attending and everything. It's still going to be a great time. You go for the experience, you know? It's a wonderful experience. You get to hang out with your friends and just see all these crazy cool bands, and you get to experience some new ones because there are a ton of bands going, and the majority I've never even heard of, which will be cool to see a lot of artists that I've never even heard of. So Macklemore and Ryan Lewis are going to be there. The next band is Arctic Monkeys, and I've talked about them quite a bit because they were definitely rumored to be there, and their presence at Outside Lands was actually announced last night versus the lineup announcement today, because Outside Lands' Instagram page had been Instagramming little clues and secrets, and they had the people kind of figure it out. They would upload a picture of a band's cover, their album cover, and they'd have people guess who was coming. And so Arctic Monkeys' AM album actually was one of the pictures uploaded. So they were actually confirmed last night, and I'm very excited to see them. I saw them before in Sacramento at Arco Arena when they opened up for the band The Black Keys, and they were great. They were good. But they weren't great, in my opinion, actually. I take the great statement back, because while they had a lot of talent, they sounded a little monotone. I don't know if it was because the lead singer was sick or something, but the vocals weren't quite there, in my opinion, because I was a big fan of a lot of their songs, and I was a little bit let down. But I think, because I've heard from a lot of people now that have seen them more recently than I have, that they put on a great show. So I'm hoping that they meet up to standards with their new AM album, because their new album was fantastic. So I'm really hoping that they keep up to standards with that. All right, and for our first electronic artist that I'm announcing at Outside Lands is Tiesto. Tiesto is one of the biggest names in electronic music. He's been around for a long time, because electronic music hasn't even been around for more than... Well, it's been around for a while, but its recent rise has... recent rise in popularity has just been insane. It's become almost mainstream now. So Tiesto is one of those mainstream kind of electronic artists who's going to put on a great show no matter what. Because I've been going to Outside Lands for the past 2 years, and the main electronic artist for 2012 was Skrillex, which is a great, great main electronic artist, and then last year it was Cascade. And I think Tiesto can definitely live up to those standards, because I have a lot of respect for Tiesto. While I haven't listened to a ton of his music, I think he'll be able to get the crowd going, for sure. Definitely. Death Cab for Cutie is also coming, and I gotta say, I am so excited for Death Cab for Cutie. When I saw that, I dropped my phone, because I looked up the lineup on my phone, and I straight up dropped my phone when I saw Death Cab for Cutie. I've never seen them live. I don't even think they've come in this area anytime, like, within the past couple years, so I could not wait. I literally just, like, jumped for joy when I saw that. Oh, I'm so excited for Death Cab for Cutie. They should put on a great show. They're definitely going to be a main stage. They're not going to obviously headline it, but they're going to be a main stage performance for sure. And I don't see that concert going wrong at all. Tiesto will actually probably play at the Twin Peaks stage, not the main stage, because most of the electronic artists I've seen, actually all of the electronic artists I've seen, have been at the Twin Peaks stage, which is kind of known for the electronic or kind of more crazy kind of concerts. They keep the main stage for the huge artists, like Kanye West will play there, Tom Petty, The Killers, probably Macklemore will probably play there too. Maybe Macklemore I could actually see playing at Twin Peaks as well, but Arctic Monkeys will be a main stage thing, but Tiesto is definitely going to be Twin Peaks, because Twin Peaks is more the, like I said, the electronic kind of party stage, so I think that'll be a lot of fun. Disclosure. I know I said them before, but they are coming, and oh my god, I am so excited for Disclosure, because I'm so sad, because I'm seeing Lana Del Rey on April 19th, and Disclosure is playing at the Greek Theater in Berkeley April 19th, so I had to kind of pick and choose, and so I picked Lana Del Rey, and I'm so glad I made that choice, because now I get to see Disclosure at Outside Lands, so very, very excited. That'll be amazing. The Flaming Lips are also coming. I know they played a concert here fairly recently with Tame Impala, and I had a couple friends go to that. So I actually personally don't listen to the Flaming Lips, but they're up there in on the lineup. They're one of the top ones listed, so that'll be very cool. Ray LaMontagne is going to come too as well. I'm not against him or for him. I've never really listened to his music, so that'll be an interesting show. Spoon and Atmosphere are also coming, along with Cut Copy. I'm just going to go through the list of the whole lineup now. Cut Copy, Tedeschi Trucks Band, Tegan and Sarah, Duck Sauce. Duck Sauce is actually one of the... There's two guys in Duck Sauce, and one of them is actually the DJ A-Track, who I have seen before, and he was rated the number one DJ in Canada, or number one DJ in the world, actually. He won some kind of competition way back when, in like the early 2000s, and... A-Track has been producing pretty good music ever since, so Duck Sauce I'm very actually interested in seeing. They came out with the electronic song Barbra Streisand, which is probably their most famous one, but my personal favorite is called It's You, and it's a pretty funny little dance number that my buddy showed me, so it's cool. It's very cool. So yeah, Duck Sauce is going to be there. I think that should be awesome. Haim is going to be there, along with Chromeo. Chromeo's going to be there. I can't wait for that show. There's going to be so much energy. He's going to get the crowd grooving. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait at all. Oh, that's going to be amazing. Absolutely incredible. Ben Howard, Likey Lee, Churches, and Paolo Nutini are also coming. Capital Cities is coming. Capital Cities, you'd know them from their hit song Safe and Sound. They're definitely going to be there, and so I can't wait for that either. I can't wait for that. Casey Musgraves, Local Natives. Local Natives was another one that was announced early through the Instagram posts, and I remember checking out some of their music, and they sounded really cool. I'd never heard of them before, but I think that'll be definitely very, very cool. Jenny Lewis and Group Love. Group Love is one that I've actually been waiting to see for a very long time, ever since their 2011 album, and their song Tongue Tied is probably how you'd know of them. And Tongue Tied is one of my was one of my favorite songs a few years back, so being able to see that song live along with their other great songs, I'm drawing a blank here at some of their other songs, but Group Love, I've heard from a lot of people, just puts out an energy over the crowd that's quite amazing. So that'll be a lot of fun. John Butler Trio is coming. Tycho is coming. He was one of the ones I talked about quite a bit because he was rumored to be coming because his tour lined up pretty well with Outside Lands. So Tycho was actually one of the first people hinted at coming by the Outside Lands Twitter page. So that was really cool. The Kooks are coming, and I have a lot of friends that like the Kooks, but I personally don't listen to them. But the Kooks are coming. SBT RKT. I could be pronouncing that wrong, but that it's just spelled SBT RKT. I looked them up actually earlier. I think it was yesterday actually, and I really liked their sound. It was really cool actually. I'm more excited than I thought I was for them because they've kind of a unique sound, and I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. As we go along the lineup, a lot of these are actually much more smaller local artists, so just be prepared for that. Run the Jewels is coming. Deer Tick, Holy Ghost, War Paint, and Flume is coming. Now, Flume is one of my favorite electronic artists right now, and I have no idea why he's so far at the bottom of the lineup. I actually thought he was much more popular than this lineup is making him out to be, but Flume will be incredible. The only problem I'm seeing with him right now is I'd love to see Flume at night when it's all dark and he's got all the cool lights and it'll be epic. The problem I'm seeing is that my guess would be Flume would be playing during the day because he's not a huge electronic artist compared to like Duck Sauce or Tiesto. So my guess would be he'd be playing during the day. Which is cool, it'll be fun, you still hear all the same music, but I think the experience of an electronic concert at night is far better than during the day, in my opinion, my personal opinion, because it's something about being in the dark and having those lights flashing at you with going along with the music is just quite, it's like nothing else, to be honest. It's amazing, it's incredible. Luscious is coming. Typhoon is coming, Dum Dum Girls, The Soul Rebels, Gold Panda. Gold Panda was another one that was released by Instagram. Christopher Owens, Green Sky Bluegrass Bleachers, Big Frida, Jaguar Ma, Woods, Watsky, Nako and Medicine for the People, Valerie June, Michael Cronin, Imelda May, Vance Joy, The Brothers Comatose, and Gardens and Villa. Now, Gardens and Villa I've actually seen before, and they opened up for the Shins when I saw them at the UC Davis Mondavi Center in 2012, or maybe it was 2011, and I was blown away. I actually got to go up and talk to the lead singer of the band, and he was nice as can be, totally down to earth, and was just awesome. And I actually haven't gotten a chance to listen to their new album because I totally had forgotten about them after I saw them live. But bringing back old memories, when I had totally brought a whole wave back of memories. I hadn't even thought about that night in such a long time. So when I saw Gardens and Villa, I was really excited because I have a lot of respect for him, because after I got to talk to him in person, he was just the most down to earth guy and was just willing to sit there and talk to some random kid for about 30 minutes just about their album, what instruments they play, and it was great. It was absolutely fantastic. So I'll be there front row supporting Gardens and Villa for sure. Other artists coming are Jonathan Wilson, Tumbleweed Wanderers, Givers, Air spelled A-E-R. I'm pretty sure it's a hip-hop trio or duo. I'm not exactly sure. But I know they came to a local Sacramento place when I lived there, and Air did a great job from the videos I saw and everything, and they have very high energy, very crowd involved. So they're actually towards the bottom of the lineup, so my guess is they're not actually that big. So that'd be kind of cool to see them at a smaller stage, like Panhandle Stage is what they call this really small stage, which would be very, very cool. Other people coming are Courtney Barnett, Bare Hands, Finish Ticket, The Districts, Rayland Baxter, Night Terrorists of 1927, Trail and Ways, and Nakona. And that is the full lineup right now. I read you all the names of the groups coming right now. So I'm excited for this lineup. It's a little different than last year's, which is why I'm a little iffy on it, because last year, I mean, you had Paul McCartney coming, and I just, how can you beat Paul McCartney? I almost wish they'd saved that for another year, but I mean, I guess you'll get Paul McCartney when you can get him, because last year, I also think the lineup is smaller this year from what it looks like. My guess is they spent a lot of money on Kanye West, because Kanye West, I can't imagine, is a cheap person to get to come to your festival. But last year, I mean, we had Paul McCartney, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nine Inch Nails, Phoenix, Cascade, Vampire Weekend. It was a loaded lineup. I mean, I knew all the top people. Chick featuring Nile Rodgers, The National, Jurassic 5, Willie Nelson, Grizzly Bear, Hall & Oates, Young the Giant, Band of Horses. I mean, all of those are just great and fantastic bands. I just when you compare 2013's lineup to 2014's, it doesn't quite have the same appeal. But that's just me. That's me personally. You never know. But I have looked on many forums and people were disappointed. While I'm still, don't get me wrong, I'm still excited to go. It's going to be a great experience, and I'm going to get to see a lot of people who I've never heard of or I haven't seen live. I'd say if I had to pick one person on this lineup that I was the most excited for, this is a hard one. If I had to pick the one that I really want to see the most, I'd probably have to say right now, Death Cab for Cutie would be probably my top one right now. Death Cab is someone I've been listening to all throughout high school, is a band that I've been listening to all throughout high school, and I think it would just be incredible to see them live. But it's closely followed by Disclosure, Arctic Monkeys, and Tiesto. I think all those would be really cool. And Chromeo. Chromeo would be really cool. Capital Cities. There are quite a few that I'm excited for. Boys Noize is another electronic duo that's coming that I think would be a lot of fun. That'd be really cool to see them. But again, I think they're probably going to play during the day because they're not as big of an artist as like Tiesto or Duck Sauce or Cut Copy. So yeah, Cut Copy's coming, Tedeschi Trucks Band. So that's going to be so fun. That's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to take a quick break here and I'm going to play some music for you. You'll see if you can, I'll tell you the name afterwards. We'll see if you can guess which artist this is. So, we're going to come back after a quick break here and we're going to talk a little bit more about Outside Lands. All right. I'm a puppet on a string, Tracy Island, time traveling diamond, could have shaped heartaches to come to find you for in some velvet morning. Years too late, she's a silver lining, Lone Ranger riding through an open space in my mind. When she's not right there beside me, I go crazy, cause here isn't where I wanna be, and satisfaction feels like a distant memory. Are you
riding through an open space in my mind when she's not right there beside me. I go crazy because here isn't where I wanna be. And satisfaction feels like a distant memory. And I can't help myself, all right. What I ever say is, are you mine? Well, are you mine?
All right, so could you guess it? That was Are You Mine by Arctic Monkeys. I'm going to be sub-headlining this year at Outside Lands. So if you just tuned in, this is the Outside Lands kind of special edition of Bizarro, because Outside Lands just released their lineup today at 10 a.m., and I was right there, kept refreshing the page until they released the lineup. They kind of released a funny lineup video as well, which was kind of funny. While I said earlier that I'm somewhat disappointed with the lineup, I'm still excited. I don't want to send the wrong message to anybody. It's just not as impressive of a lineup as previous years, but I will say it's still going to be a great experience and everything. I just wish they hadn't raised the ticket prices so much. They raised it quite a bit from last year, because I remember I was able to get an early bird ticket last year for $195, and this year it was $235. That's a $40 increase, and my guess would be that I was assuming that they would have a more full lineup because they raised the price so much and they needed to pay for that. But maybe it's going to food or something. I can't imagine, because I guess Kanye West would be really expensive to bring to your festival, but I mean, and along with Tom Petty, but I don't see how they've raised it every year now, and it's honestly getting on my nerves a little bit, because if it starts getting over $300, I don't know if I'm going to keep going. But it's a great experience, and I love every year of it, no matter what. Kind of, it's because no matter who's playing, really, you're going to have a great time, because generally, there will be some kind of talented artist there that you can appreciate and enjoy and just hang out with your friends and eat amazing food, and it's just a blast. It's an absolute blast. So that was, I can't wait. I can't wait. Because it's also like returning to one of your favorite places, you know, because Golden Gate Park, it's set in such a beautiful it's a beautiful location, and you're surrounded by these amazing trees, green grass, and it doesn't feel like you're in San Francisco. You feel like you're in the middle of just this beautiful park, and you are in the middle of a beautiful park, but you just don't feel like you're near a big city at all, and because you can't hear it, you're the only ones there. It's just like bringing 100,000 people to just chill and relax and then just enjoy this amazing experience all together. And I'm so excited, because generally they have amazing food there too, because the food is brought in by restaurants all over San Francisco that just set up shop there, and they like give out their specialty. I remember they have amazing pizza. There's a couple different pizza vendors from my memory, but it's absolutely delicious if I remember correctly. And they had some great chili last year, and what was some of the other stuff? They had this really cool like Asian pasta salad thing. They had so many great food venues. And if you're above the age of 21, they also have what's called Wine Lands, and where you can go and like taste a bunch of wine and try a bunch of different types of unique and interesting wines, and Beer Lands, where you can go get some great beer. And if you're a chocoholic, they have Choco Lands, which you should really try to avoid, because it is just too delicious to stop. I remember I got a chocolate-dipped brownie last year, and it was the most heavenly thing I've ever put in my mouth, ever. It was delicious, and and I ate the whole thing, and it was so dense, I had the worst stomachache for the rest of the day, but it is just delicious food there, and They haven't actually, believe it or not, they have a lineup for food. So they haven't announced who's coming for the food, but that I can actually wait for. I'm not going there for the food. While it is always delicious, though, I will say. And they also have art showing kind of thing. And they also have artists painting things and sculptures and stuff there that they're doing live right in front of you, which is crazy. And it's an amazing experience. It's an absolutely amazing experience. If you haven't been before, I would highly suggest going, because it's something that you do with your friends, and it's a bonding experience. I know my buddy Calvin and I, back in 2012, not that long ago, but it feels like a very long time ago, we had no plans, really. We just had two Outside Lands tickets and a car, and we didn't know what we were doing going all the way to we're from Sacramento, so it's only a 2.5-hour drive, but we had no idea what we're doing. We drove all the way to San Francisco and got there. Didn't have a parking pass, didn't have a shuttle pass, we had nothing. So we had to park 45 minutes away and walk all the way to Outside Lands just to get there and back every single day. But in addition to walking 45 minutes, we also had to drive an hour because we were too stupid to get a hotel. We tried to get a hotel like a week before. Obviously not going to happen. We had to stay at his family friend's place in Sunnyvale and drive an hour every day to the festival. Every day. And then walk 45 minutes to get to the festival. So it was almost a 2-hour journey every day just to get to Outside Lands. We've since gotten much better. I got a parking pass last year, which are actually quite expensive. It was like $200 for a parking pass. But once you split it between some friends and you get your money's worth, to be honest. Be able to park right there and walk in. I think it's definitely worth it for the parking pass. Shuttle pass is also good. I've never personally used it, but I've had friends that do, and it's a pretty simple system. You park at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in San Francisco, and they take just shuttle after shuttle after shuttle all day to Outside Lands, and obviously they shuttle back. It's a little bit tough after when leaving Outside Lands to get a shuttle, but you just have to wait a while because it takes a long time. And the public transportation, I know the Muni runs to Outside Lands basically the whole day and night, but it's very packed. It's packed to the brim. So I'd be careful with taking the Muni because you could be stuck there for a long time. I would suggest getting either a parking pass or a shuttle pass because that's run by Outside Lands and they're going to get you there for sure. I know they also, if you're from the area, if you have a house in San Francisco, they have a bike valet. So if you're willing to ride your bike to Outside Lands, you can park your bike there and they'll get it for you and everything, and it's totally cool. It's really, really cool experience. Outside Lands, I know, is focusing on keeping things eco-friendly this year. They have been for the past few years as well. And they do things like recyclable cups. They're made out of like corn or something, and a lot of cool things. And so they also introduced the bike valet to try to keep people from driving and stuff like that. But unfortunately, I'm getting an apartment next year in San Rafael, and so we're just going to be driving the 30 minutes to Golden Gate Park from San Rafael every day and parking there. So that'll be really cool. So again, parking pass, shuttle pass are very highly recommended unless you live only a mile or two away, then you can bike there. But yes, so parking passes will run you like around $200 and shuttle passes are around $45. So everything's a little pricey here, but you get what you pay for in that it's just an incredible experience. I remember my buddy Calvin and I, the guy that we went the first year, was just me and him versus San Francisco. We walk in and we're waiting in line to get into the festival, and we meet these guys, and I forget their names, but I can remember what they look like for sure. We met these two older guys, and they're two best friends, and we were two best friends, and we walk up, and we just start talking, except there's about a 40-year difference between us. But what was hilarious was they had the same enthusiasm as we did for all the bands, and it was fantastic. It was great to see. And we ended up hanging out with them, and we watched some groups together. And it was fantastic. And then what was hilarious was the next year, Outside Lands 2013, when we walked in, guess who we saw? The same people. We hadn't talked since then, and it was just a hilarious coincidence that we saw them yet again. And we hung out, we saw some groups They're obviously older, so one of them was getting drunk, and he, like, passed out, and he, like, fell asleep. It was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious, and, man, just the thing here, because I'm obviously getting a little too into some personal stories here, but the thing about Outside Lands is you just, it's a place to create memories, and it is so much more than just listening to music. You're creating memories with the people you love and care about and have just such a great time with, and I think it's going to be just so much fun yet again. And just to be even able to lay out in the grass and just hang out in Golden Gate Park is just awesome to begin with. I would do that anyway. But then to have Kanye West rapping to you at the same time, that'd be kind of cool. Or Arctic Monkeys playing to you, or Death Cab for Cutie playing to you. Or it's just, it's an incredible experience. So, again, I think if you have never been to Outside Lands, I would definitely go. I would definitely go. Because even though the lineup may not seem that strong, I guarantee you your experience will be awesome. Because I've never had someone go to Outside Lands and say, eh, that was stupid. I didn't like it. Everyone I see there is having a great time. They're just hanging out with their friends. And it's awesome. It's fantastic. I remember last year, actually I have a hotel to recommend to everybody that if they're going to be staying in San Francisco. It's called the Hotel Del Sol. It's right off of Van Ness Avenue, and it only takes about a 5-10 minute drive to get to Outside Lands from there. It's a little pricey, but it is totally worth it. Since I'm going to be living in the Bay Area over the summer, I'm not going to be using a hotel. But Hotel Del Sol. And it's a great hotel. They offer you breakfast in the morning. It's reliable. They have parking. It's easy and simple. That's where I stayed last year, and I had an absolute great experience. We packed like 6 people we packed like 6 people into each room. Probably not legal, but we made it work. We made it work, and it was a blast. And the rooms were nice and everything. So, again, Outside Lands 2014, I'll announce it for anyone just tuning in. Kanye West, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and The Killers, Macklemore, Ryan Lewis, Arctic Monkeys, Tiesto, and Death Cab for Cutie are all the main headliners. I'm not going to go into the whole list again because that would take way too long, but those are the main headliners. I cannot wait. Oh, it's going to be incredible. I think Macklemore and Ryan Lewis should be interesting because I know they sold out their show at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium earlier this year and had a very positive reaction from it. So I think that's probably why Outside Lands tried to snag them, because they blew up the Bay once. They can do it again. So I think that'll be really cool. Again, Arctic Monkeys is my girlfriend's favorite band, so I will definitely be attending that show. And Tiesto, I'm definitely going to be there just because it'd be... compare it to like seeing the Paul McCartney of electronic music. He's one of the heavy influences in electronic music right now, and it would be sad to miss him as well. It'd be really sad, very sad, because they always have one big, huge electronic artist there, and so this year it's Tiesto. Again, I said I think it was Cascade last year, and Skrillex the year before, and Deadmau5 the year before that. And I've actually seen Deadmau5 before, not at Outside Lands. I didn't even know about Outside Lands at the time, but I saw him in San Francisco at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in 2011, and it was my first ever electronic concert, and it's what inspired me to get so into electronic music nowadays, because it was just an awesome experience. Going to an electronic show is unlike anything else. It's absolutely incredible. So we're hitting up 5 o'clock now. I thank you very much for joining me on this Outside Lands special. It has been so wonderful sharing all my memories with you and the lineup and being able to talk about some of the bands that are coming. And I absolutely can't wait to see you guys there. And I thank you again very, very much for listening. This has been DJ Hafo with Bizarro on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.